Chatting with Mabel and Ivy from Trauma Finches. How are you guys going?
Good. Thanks for having us, Doug.
Of course. So I'm really interested in your band, which I guess, is it 10 years now? Is it 10 years this year or 10 years since your first release?
Yeah. I think it is 10 years this year.
Yeah, it is this year.
Wow, that's happened fast.
Yeah. How does it, I mean, what? How old were you when you started?
We were pretty young. We started in our early teens, and I guess we grew up with lots of music, musical parents, and we went to Steiner School as well, which is very encouraging of music. So, yeah, started young, and now we're releasing our fourth album. So it's been a journey.
Yeah, well, how? So your parents played music, both of them?
Our mum used to be in bands in the 90s, and she actually did like electronic music, and sang on stage, and then she ran choirs when we were kids.
Dad was obsessed with Bob Dylan, so we heard that a lot around the house.
Well, that would be a formative influence
for sure.
And is it just the two of you, or do you have other siblings?
We do have a little brother as well,
but it's just the two of us in the band.
Yes. And was it always like a thing with the harmonizing, like, learning how to do the close harmonies? Did that just sort of come naturally?
Well, we listened to lots of harmony singing when we were kids. We loved the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack, which has so many great harmony singing songs on it.
We used to play a game in the bathtub when we were little kids where we would sing and try and come up with the weirdest, wackiest harmony we could.
That's really cool.
Because we loved the reverb in the bathroom.
Ah, yes, bathrooms is with the dials. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And fast forward to now, and you've recorded this album. You recorded it in Canada, sort of in the thick of winter?
Yeah. So we went there in February of 2023, and we spent the whole month in the studio with Daniel Ledwell, who is our producer. There was a lot of snow and a big frozen lake.
It was pretty magical. We slept in the studio as well, and then every morning we'd go out for a walk on the frozen lake with our cups of tea and do our vocal warm-ups, and then we'd head back into the studio for another day of recording, did that for a month.
And did the weather disrupt the recording at all, or was it, I guess they're used to that kind of snow there, but I was just curious.
Not really. There was, you know, sometimes if we had to go to the shops, Dan would have to shovel the snow from the driveway, and that would take about half an hour. but that's pretty normal for them.
Yeah.
But the landscape was pretty inspiring for the songs, actually. I think it was really a beautiful way to sort of record and create a new body of work. And the title track of the album, Marlinchen in the Snow, it was written in the studio and was inspired by the landscape and this sort of the snowy the snow outside and the woods that we were surrounded by sort of reminded us of this Grimm's fairy tale that we were told when we were pretty young. And it's quite a grim, appropriately grim fairy tale. It's about this little girl called Marlinchen, and she witnesses the death of her brother at the hands of her mother. And then she gathers the bones of her brother and buries them under the juniper tree. And then the brother's spirit sort of turns into this beautiful phoenix, and then he sings about the truth of his death. And it's sort of this tale that stuck with us, and then it sort of made its way into the song.
That's really cool. Well, it seems like you guys have often had this sort of like, there's this sort of running theme, I feel like, of like fairy tale mythology stuff.
Yeah.
I listened back to one of your earliest songs, Girl in the Lighthouse, and I think that mentioned Poseidon and Cupid and stuff, and then listening to a new record.
That's
with
a very old one.
I wanted to see how far it went back, you know, like different releases. But then listening to Atlantis on the new one, so yeah, is that something that you guys have always been kind of interested in, that element of like the fantastical?
Definitely. We're very inspired by mythology and fairy tales and nature as well, and how that can sort of be woven in with the emotional world.
I reckon it also comes into our music videos. We love creating crazy music videos and coming up with a fun, clever narrative. We love to do all that ourselves as well.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. So you've been directing your videos since, as far as I can tell, about 2018, is that right?
Yeah, about that. I think every video we've made, we've come up with a concept, sometimes in collaboration with other people that we work with, but it's always a big part of the whole project is the visuals as well.
So you direct them yourselves, and then Ivy, you edit them, is that right?
Yeah, I do. Yep.
Okay.
I love doing that.
We love to get our friends involved as well.
Yeah.
We always rope people in to play different characters and dress up. And
the shoots are often very long and massive days. The one for Clean Cut was meant to be just a day shoot and ended up being a 22-hour shoot.
That was the one with the dolls?
Yes, the doll museum, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're quite elaborate. I mean, the staging and, I mean, that one with the dancing.
But we do like to make it as budget as possible and make all the costumes ourselves. And, we just
crowdsource.
Love doing all that stuff ourselves, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you do seem to have this kind of, DIY streak, just this sort of self-sufficient, self-contained kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that song, Clean Cut, I saw in the press release you wrote that, or it was written on a grand piano in Oslo?
Yeah, it started as a sort of a piano ballad, and it was inspired by going overseas and, it being a catalyst for a breakup, and then being in this incredible landscape of Norway and the beautiful snowy mountains, even though it's summer, it still snows. and then that sort of came into the song, and I remember sitting down at the piano and there was a sun shower outside, and that's when the song started. Yeah.
That's really beautiful. And it's funny, I mean, I think a lot of Australian bands would be like, Oslo, I can't imagine touring somewhere that sort of far-flung, but it seems like you've done it so much. Are you you feel pretty seasoned now with that kind of thing, with like, touring the world?
Yeah, well, we love to tour internationally, and we're about to go on our third UK tour, UK and Europe, and the last one was the first UK tour was 4 months, and we had an incredible time, and a lot of the songs on this new album came out of that time, writing about what it's like to be on the road and, missing the people back home, but also loving the adventures of touring overseas. We're heading back for another 4 months, and maybe more songs will come out of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a long time, but I guess you know what you're doing. You know, you've learned how to how to make it work, how to stay at certain places
well,
and
yeah.
be comfortable.
Yeah, we hope we've learned. Yeah. Can be tricky at times.
And when you play live, is it always just the two of you, or do you sometimes have accompaniment?
We actually have some band shows on this Australian tour run. Mm-hmm. So we'll be doing our Melbourne show with a band, which is super fun. We love doing that. But mostly we tour as a duo, and definitely overseas we tour as a duo. And at the Beechworth show, we're going to be
a duo.
A duo, yeah. Yeah. So it'll be a lovely night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a good room for it. It's very, it has a great sound, especially for sort of the more intimate gigs.
Yeah,
it's like a special place, yeah.
It looks beautiful from photos. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to get in there.
Yeah, I think, you were meant to play Yak and Dana as part of the old, or the small halls thing, and then it was cancelled. Is that what happened?
Oh, yeah, maybe. It was somewhere near there.
Yeah, near there.
That was the Small Halls tour back, when was
2022,
that?
Yeah.
I was just trying to think about when you had played around this area before or almost played.
We have done the Yak and Danda Folk Fest many years ago, though. Yeah. So it'd be good to get back to that area.
Yeah, and I was wondering how, when you play live, the new record is quite atmospheric. Which is part of the production and everything. Do you try to sort of replicate that stuff live, or is it more just naturally a stripped-down version?
Yeah, I think that naturally it sort of becomes its own sort of live version, but we'll definitely, choose what sort of flavors and instruments we can prioritize from the recording and bring in into the live show with just the two of us. But in the studio we definitely put lots of layers on, and then we'll just see how it goes live and develop it as the shows go on.
Yeah, Mabel plays guitar and I play keys and play with different sounds on the keyboard as well, to sort of suit the album, the songs on the album. And I also play violin, so,
nice. I didn't know that.
That's what it will be.
And, was it, this being your fourth album, were you, by comparison, did you feel a bit more self-assured? We've done this before, there's a certain, familiarity to it and sort of earned confidence?
Yeah, I think so. We kind of went into the studio with songs at their bare bones, and we were just sort of really open to experimenting and trying new things and just seeing where the creative process took us, which was lots of fun. And it was a really cool experience just to be like, what if we just explored this new sound? And collaborating with our producer Dan, he's amazing, and he brings his own musical background to some of the songs as well, and we'll talk it out. And
one of the things that we love doing every time in the studio is arranging our own strings and also playing them. Mabel plays cello as well, so we both do that ourselves, and it's just really fun to try and come up with different string arrangements for each different song and try and make them unique,
their own little
for each song. Yeah.
And the talking about the recording, the fact that you wrote the title track while you were there, that speaks to a certain level of comfort that again were able to just have that freedom, that of exploration. So you brought most of the songs otherwise, or were the other ones that were sort of written at the time, or they were mostly written beforehand?
So most of them were written before we went into the studio, a lot of them inspired by our travels overseas that past year. And then we did finish a couple of them and write bridges and outros when we were in the studio, and then play with some of the form of the song and the structure. But most of it was done before we went into the studio.
there's a song, If You Know Me, which is the last single before the album, and that features Sam Bentley from the Paper Kites. And that was a song that was mostly written, but we kind of wanted something extra. And it was a little bit short, and so we were like, why don't we just ask Sam and see what he comes back with? Maybe he can just sing a verse that we've already written. But then he came back with this amazing third verse, and it just fit the song perfectly. So we're excited to share that one.
Oh, nice. And, you know, I mean, it must be somewhat bittersweet with, you know, I think the album's going to end up being the second to last release on Spunk Records, which you've only recently signed to, but it's also part of this amazing legacy. You know, how do you feel about that, about being, like, one of the second to last, the penultimate release on this great Australian label?
Well, it feels incredible to be on this label in the first place. Many of our musical heroes have released with Spunk, Sufjan Stevens, Aldous Harding, Middle East, and Joanna Newsom. Yeah, some amazing artists. It's sad for Spunk, but also an incredible, incredible legacy.
And are you guys, with the touring in Europe and things, do you have a label over there at all, or you just sort of organize it all independently?
At this point, we're independent overseas, but we do have a booking agent in the UK who books our tours for us and helps us a lot,
And it's interesting, I mean, just knowing that, just finally, I mean, you'll be over there for summer, so it could be a totally different vibe on the next album if you end up drawing inspiration and writing songs from while you're overseas.
Totally. Yeah. Hopefully we get some sun in the UK.
It's not always easy. Yeah,
there might be lots of rain. We'll see.
Well, that could be a whole nother album as well.
Yeah.
All right, well, guys, thanks a lot for talking to me. I really appreciate it. And
thanks for having us.
So, you're playing the Old Stone Hall in Beechworth on April 24th, is it?
That's right, So album launch, and you should come along.
It'll be, I think it's two sets.
Yeah.
And, the two of us, and we're excited to be playing all the new songs.
Yeah.